Welcome to Sustainable Talks with NNN, Nicolo Giusti and
Nicolo Duranti,
where we talk about sustainability in the fashion supply chain.
We interview the best players in fashion and challenge them to the real full sustainability.
From material suppliers to factories, designers, sustainable association and more. We want to make clarity if a fashion can be sustainable or not.
This podcast is sponsored by ourselves and no one else with our time, experience and fun.
We hope you have fun to listen to us and spread the word.
You can find us also in Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Just search us as Sustainable Talks with NNN and you will find us.
Have fun!
When you die with herbs, when you use nature, you really have to observe what nature does itself. And then you create the right conditions for the magic to happen.
Welcome, everyone. Today, we have a new friend with us, Anna from Tinteria di Quadrenia.
Hello.
Hi, Anna. Let's go in deeper. Anna Melorella, our new guest today. She is owner and also director of research and development of Tinteria di Quadrenia. So she is the one that creates all the magic from herbs to dyeing the textile. Let's start from our first question that we always do to everybody. What is sustainability for you?
Sustainability for me is my life. Everything came for a personal passion. When I started this adventure, I didn't know that it was going to take me so far. Today, I'm able to do something for the sustainability in textile, especially in the dyeing part of textile, one of the most polluting parts of the textile industry, because it's a sort of chemical process. So it's impacting a lot, not only on the planet itself, but it's impacting also on people working in dye houses. And it's impacting also on people wearing fabrics or sweaters. With a natural dye, we have a total different scenery.
Explain us, what was your process, thought process when many years ago you started and you say, okay, I want to change this industry?
27 years ago, I had no intention of working in the factory of my father and staying in Biella, where I live today. I was very interested in nature, in traveling. But then one day my father told me, why don't you come and work in the factory? The factory is obviously Tinteria di Quadrenia, and my father founded it in 1948. It has always been a factory dealing with dyeing on commission, on precious fibers mainly. When I started working with him, as I have a degree in nuclear physics, I discovered that there was no really space for me. But I was very interested in learning what dyeing was. And I started to learn what dyeing means, what is the process. I have also a very big passion for hiking in the mountains. And I was getting bored, so I started to pick up herbs to see if I could dye with them. The first summer, I took in factory the first 30 species of grasses, of barks, of things I could find around in the woods. And I started to try to dye with them. And I reached only some yellows, light browns, nothing really interesting. Out of a sudden, there was a very nice green, which came from horsetail, which is a prehistoric grass, which is still growing around. But it was only a personal interest. And none of our clients was interested in what I was doing. But then one of our biggest clients came and said, I'm interested in what you're doing because I want to make a story about my roots here in Biella. So I would like to make some colors with the plants that we can find here. And I started to do more research for him because he wanted to have blacks. He wanted to have very special colors. That's how some better colors started to come to light. That was only, how can I say, it was just for one. For 15 years and more, we really didn't have any interesting.
How did you integrate these research to your actual life?
Good question. Studying, in the end, I came to use more than 200 different herbs coming from all over the world. 60% of them, they come from Italy and Europe. The others come mainly from South America, from Central America. Africa, I buy some woods from, and then India, a lot from there. And I started also mixing herbs together to make recipes more interesting. And so I started to have many colors and also the capacity to make colors on demand.
What is the color fastness of something dyed with herbs compared to chemicals?
It's the same performance. Wow. To keep the process completely natural, you really have to make a lot of observations. When you dye with herbs, when you use nature, you really have to observe what nature does itself. And then you create the right conditions for the magic to happen. Now we have in our basic color card more than 60 different colors.
Wow.
In cashmere. And all the colors we make are tested with the GB1840, which is the most severe one for fastness. All of them have the same fastness as a chemical color. This is not coming from any fixing agent or anything. The dyeing is only made with dry herbs, water, and fibers. The molecules which are dyeing have itself the capability of fixing on the fibers.
To fix the color, you use the herbs themselves. So different herbs have different fixing properties, let's say, of the color into the fabric.
Absolutely. And there are also some herbs which do not dye, that they don't give any color, but they have some molecular inside which are able to fix other herbs. Today, almost any color I make is done with more than 10 different herbs together, more or less like cooking. And it changes from time to time because depends on the different fibers, depends on the weather the herbs are experimented, depends on different seasons. The number and maybe also the kind of herbs that make that color change from time to time. So I'm cooking colors, actually, you know, so it's absolutely the same. And today, 80% of what we dye is natural dye. So our hope is very soon to become 100% natural dye.
Do you use fresh plants or dry?
I could use fresh plants. It's difficult to make a schedule with that. So I only use dry herbs for dyeing.
And in terms of process, for example, are you using the same machinery and same technique as regular dyeing, or you had to discover a new setup?
We use the same machines as we use for chemical dyeing. We made only some adjustments because actually we have to do big infusions. Infusions means take the herbs, dry herbs, put them in water, and they stay overnight usually. But some of them, they stay also for 1 week. For instance, the walnut stay for 1 week because the more it stays in infusion, the better the color comes. 1,700 times, the ancient Gobelin manufacturers were keeping the walnut in infusion for 2 years to make their special color.
Did you want to look any old books, any old recipes? Did you find any inspiration from the olds?
Until the beginning of last century, the only way of dyeing was with herbs. They did not have an ecological aim, but they didn't have anything else. And the first chemical colorants were copied from herbs. I found that in those recipes, they were really using a lot of salts and things together with herbs to make the color. That could not be acceptable today because it would be more polluting than using colors. I really had to start from the beginning using not the recipes that we used to use in last century, because they would not be ecological today at all. And the herbs that we use for dyeing, after we dye, they are only wet herbs. So some of them we reuse to dye a second time and a third time. And others, they make a fertilizer for the fields. Some of them, we use them as biomasses for heating. When you work with nature, you have no waste. The waste is always something still precious. While I'm dyeing with chemical colors, I just put the CO2 back in the air. When I dye with herbs, while they are growing through the chlorophyllia and photosynthesis, they are taking the CO2 back to the ground, so they are cleaning the air.
How does your customer reacting to the natural dye?
After COVID in the last year, it's really exploded everything. Many clients who used to know us since a long time, now they came back and they want to do kilos. In meantime, we started not only dyeing. Today, we also have our yarn collection, all made with herbs, and where also the spinning of our yarns is made only with olive oil, so it's 100% natural as well. And we have a collection of wool yarns and cashmere and cotton and linen. And we dye also with herbs on not natural fibers like recycled polyesters, recycled nylon.
How much are important certification and how much can they be a benchmark for the final customer?
Today they are very, very important. First of all, we are very transparent with our clients. Every color has the name of the main herb which gives color. We give to our clients a label where it's written what was the process, which herb we used and the properties of the herbs and etc. And also we give to them also a small sample of the herb that we use for dyeing. On certifications. Woolmark some years ago was very surprised from what we were doing with wool dyeing natural. So they create this new logo, which is a natural coloration technology, and they gave it to us in world exclusivity. Then our yarns have certification from Pure Wool, also Woolmark, and Merino Extra Fine Wool from Woolmark. We have got certifications on our yarn. We have Nativa certification, and then we have also RWS certification on our wool.
So you have a lot of certification.
Normal, because it cannot be not certificated.
Can we drink your wastewater or it's tea or what?
We also dye with tea and rhubarb. So you can drink also rhubarb. And then we dye with also some herbs, which are waste from other industries. So there are onions. So you can make something very nice with onions if you want.
I love onions.
Yes, you can make your pasta with what I use for dyeing. You cannot drink everything because some herbs are not nice to drink. Horsetail, yes, you can drink. It's a detox, but I wouldn't drink everything.
You are an example. We love you. We love your passion. I hope your business is going to boom in the next few years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
If you like this episode and you would like to learn more about fashion and sustainability, check out the Sustainable Academy, a community of people like me and like you that like fashion and sustainability and they want to clean the greenwash. Sustainableacademy.org